This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, April 7th, Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, back with you. Very excited to be here. Judge Giamatti, Al Borland, the Borgogan, also on hand. A good distance away, so I'm feeling comfortable. You don't want them too close.
No, you don't want to catch producer.
Right.
That'd be embarrassing.
Catch producer?
Is that like a disease?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Look at them.
Yeah, unsightly, but still loved.
Oh.
Still worthy
loved.
Of love.
Just stay back there in the dark.
We've got... Mike didn't want to get in on any of that.
I have my own thoughts.
We have the rookie wide receiver preview today on the show. Got some NFL news. Just really one big piece of news to talk about. Very excited to kind of get into the weeds on a position that we don't think is inferior to other seasons. And the rookie wide receivers this year, pretty deep.
Yeah, I mean, we all have different thoughts on the top guys, but the same top five apply independently for all three of us, so there are at least five guys that we both really like, and that's enough to make an impact for fantasy.
I think there are also, I was telling Mike before the show, there are really kind of three categories of rookie wide receiver, in my opinion, types of wide receivers, and I think that there are certain teams that could use a receiver of a certain type, and so where these guys end up is going to, again, this is still pencil season. Just because we're sitting here previewing rookie wide receivers doesn't mean that post-draft this is the same order. It's going to change because you have some high-profile quarterback situations looking for wide receivers with Green Bay, with Kansas City. I've seen mock drafts with Justin Herbert picking up another wideout early in the first round. So there are opportunities, and that's going to dictate really where the confidence is.
Yeah, I mean, if you slide in the draft, you know, pre-draft Keem Butler was beloved, and then the NFL said, no, we don't agree, and then they're good at their jobs, so
they were right.
Yeah, they were 100% right. So you're correct to say that these are pre-NFL draft rankings, and that is not going to be the same as what we're telling you to draft. You know, after the NFL does.
Now, I'm getting word from Al Borland, who's never one to refrain from letting you know if you said something incorrectly, but you apparently said all three of us both really like them. All three of us both really like these wide receivers.
Sounds about me.
All right. Before we kick things off, we are going to play a game of Who Am I? Want to remind you the Ultimate Draft Kit available at ultimatedraftkit.com. You can get your best pre-order price. You can get the Dynasty Pass content with all the rookie breakdowns and team opportunity charts, Mike's trade targets for Dynasty Leagues. Check everything out at ultimatedraftkit.com.
I want to play a game.
both of us, all three of us, are going to play a little game of Who Am I? So I'm going to give you a clue. Is there no theme? We don't have a Who Am I theme.
Well, no, like, you want some music?
No. That'd be nice, too.
Oh.
But, no, I meant, like, no hints, like a game of Who Am I in the AFC or NFC? Or?
Nah, not this time.
Yes, okay. The hints just come as the questions are revealed.
All right, fair enough. Please, no theme. Whatever we do. We learned yesterday when recording the Spitballers podcast that Mike has two mouth instruments, which is the trumpet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I can trumpets.
That's your number one. Right?
Well, I could maybe like. That's not really a trumpet. That's a lower brass. but
then
that
you've got
and,
the wah-wah
and wah guitar
and wah guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Clue number one. Prior to last season, I was no help to fantasy football teams.
Okay. So breakout
or rookie. Yeah. Mm. So you can play along at home. We'll lock in our guesses when we feel like we would like to make one. Clue number two. In 2021, I played in 15 games and finished the RB13 in half PPR scoring.
Ooh. I feel like that should give it away, but...
I have my guess.
Yeah, I do too.
No, I can't lock it in just yet.
I think I'm going to lock.
Oh, no. No.
Don't reveal it yet, Andy.
No, I won't.
Rip. You're locking it in?
Yeah, but I think I might have been deceived because I don't think they would have... I don't think that they would have made it this easy on me, so I'm going to be wrong. And I'll be wrong on this guess, I'm sure. Guess number or hint number three. Despite my overall RB13 finish, I only had 4 weekly finishes as the RB13 or better. Okay, I'm still in the running.
Okay.
Are you going to lock, Mike? Because you can play at home. Play at home. See if you beat us. No lock, huh?
Jay, how you doing over there, Jay?
I'm not locking yet. I'm gonna keep playing with the audience.
I'm locking.
Okay, you're locking on guest three. I locked on guest two. Number four, hint number four. I did not top 1,000 rushing yards in 2021. You feeling good still?
I'm just glad I locked because that clue changed nothing.
Okay, I was in the same boat.
So I'm still locked. I would get the 3 points.
Clue number five. I had a whopping 15 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, baby. Okay, I feel much better about my guess.
I am very wrong on my guess.
Jason,
a whopping 15 rushing touchdowns, would this be...
You have to write your answer down.
Okay, I'm writing it down. I don't think I'm right here.
So how do we... what's the rules on revealing, bro?
Well, I mean, we're all the way through all the hints.
Okay, Andy, you give your guess.
I felt like I was still alive through 4 hints, but my original guess was Javonte Williams. I figured a rookie didn't play RB13 and half PPR. I wasn't sure if he finished that high. I don't think he did. Javonte was RB18. Yes. I'm being informed 18. But I thought it might have been the right answer. Mike?
Do you want me to reveal, Jay, or do you want to go?
I went A.J. Dillon, but he didn't have 15 rushing touchdowns.
I went with Damian Harris.
Correct.
Boom! Boom shakalaka!
So patience paid off. Yeah. Although those hints, really...
That was my guess after number two, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, did you really have any extra help on those other guesses?
No. The 15 rushing touchdowns...
You were just not... You weren't brave enough.
Correct. That is correct. But, I mean, he had at least 2 weeks... Am I remembering this 2 weeks where
he had three
touchdowns?
Monster games.
That'll boost the old.
Should have had another
season.
Week with 3 touchdowns, except for Ramondre ended up having the last 3 quarters and cost me a championship.
When we got to the 15, I thought it was going to be James Conner, but then I'm like, he has helped people for fantasy before this year, and I was going to take a little umbrage with that.
Okay. You're going to take some umbrage.
So instead of working on a new guess, you are building up your argument.
That's right.
He's building on his umbrage. The one piece of news that I want to share before we get into our rookie discussions, Stephon Diggs, 4 years, $104 million, new extension, $70 million guaranteed, tied to Buffalo for 6 years. He's 28.4 years old right now. He is coming off of four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Had fantasy finishes of wide receiver 3. This was 2 years ago, right? Made the headlines, came to Buffalo. But last year was the wide receiver 7.
And everyone feels like he was disappointing. And what's crazy,
because you paid up for him in the draft.
Yeah, what's crazy is people are upset because they didn't necessarily get the monster games, but he was actually very consistent. You know, he didn't, for a wide receiver, he was good the vast majority of his weeks, far more so than the average good wide receiver.
Yeah, but when you draft, I think his ADP was like, what, wide receiver 3 or so?
Yeah, second round draft pick.
I mean, when you're spending that draft capital on a wide receiver, you want spike weeks.
You want them to boom?
Yeah, you want them to be consistent, but they also need spike weeks that win the week, because they go out and, like, against the Jets, he went out and put 8 receptions, 162 yards, and a touchdown. Like that's what I'm looking for, but I need that to happen, like, 4 or more times, and that was really his one big juicy game.
He was the wide receiver 3 drafted last year, and that's why people are disappointed. But the wide receiver 4 was DeAndre Hopkins, who was worse than Diggs, Metcalf, Ridley, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen. Like,
you got a return.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, Diggs had a great season. It's nice to see him get financially rewarded. If you are a dynasty manager of Diggs, do a little dance.
Make a little love.
Get down tonight. Now, comparing him to those other wide receivers, trust me, the people that drafted those players, also disappointed.
Sure, yeah. So everyone was just disappointed with their early wide receivers.
This is exciting to me. Just from a lot of wide receivers this offseason, obviously big trades, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill. Diggs was also rumored he was just set up to where he could go out and he could make a stink and he could force his way out, or he could do whatever he wanted to get money. But this was all behind the scenes. And it just happened and got taken care of, and now he's going to be tied to one of the best quarterbacks in football. So if you're a dynasty player, this is huge news for you with Stephon Diggs. Now, I'm going to ask you some names real quick. Who you'd rather have over Diggs in dynasty? Ja'Marr Chase?
Yes.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson?
Yep.
Yes.
A.J. Brown?
Yep.
Yes.
DK Metcalf?
Yes. It's tough because right now,
I think you still go with Metcalf because he's so young.
Like Tyreek.
I'll take Diggs.
That feels like something new out loud.
Yeah, that has swapped with him going to Tua and either being linked to Tua or unknown, and they're about the same age, right?
You think he'll have fewer touchdowns?
I like it.
Oh, Mike, I thought I was going to get more trash.
Oh, you got to stop hitting me with the fired dad jokes. It's knocking me off my game.
These are so thick and you're liking them. This is going to be a real problem for the show.
But Tyreek and Diggs, they're both, both getting older. So give me the one I know for sure is linked with the quarterback.
What about Devontae?
Ooh, that one, that's really a tough call.
That's really tough. You've got the better quarterback with Josh Allen. They're both a little bit older. Diggs is younger than Devontae.
By a year?
Yeah, it's not much. I think I lean Adams. Yeah,
I would actually take Diggs there.
That's about where the line is, though.
DeAndre Hopkins, you take Diggs over him?
Correct.
Yes.
Godwin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. DJ Moore?
Yep. DJ Moore is tough because, like with DK Metcalf, he's so young that the future can bring a much better quarterback.
Okay. It's interesting. I like to see it. I think there are going to be some other big types of extensions coming to these wideouts very soon. You know, you hear about, like, Terry McLaurin. You're going to have to figure him out.
Yeah, you should trade him.
Oh, I know. To the Chiefs?
There's the Packers. There's honestly a lot of places he could be traded to, and I would be super happy for him.
Who scores more fantasy?
For him.
Who scores more fantasy points? Ready? Game number 2. Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf both are coming up on extensions. If you trade Terry McLaurin and DK Metcalf or DK Metcalf to the Packers, who scores more fantasy points?
DK Metcalf?
Yeah, I guess I would say DK.
Yeah.
Same with the Chiefs. I mean, DK is the better player.
I definitely think
so. I'll go Terry.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, just thinking about the the way that Aaron Rodgers works. Like, Davante Adams was great because not just because he was a good athlete, he's an elite route runner. And for as great as DK is, I think Terry is a more refined wide receiver.
It's the touchdowns,
and DK could end with Aaron Rodgers could end up with 16 plus touchdowns. Yeah. But I would bet on Terry.
Okay, all right, giving Terry some love here in the last few moments. Maybe, you know, the Commanders rumored to be looking at a rookie wide receiver.
Oh, because they need someone else besides Terry.
So if you get,
how dare you? Curtis Samuel is gonna be healthy this year.
I forgot he was on.
I know. I don't blame you.
The way you said that, I did not forget how much you had invested in him.
Oh, man.
All right,
so close.
Let's talk more rookies.
Hey, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
All right. We are talking about rookie wide receivers. This is, if you didn't listen, Tuesday we did the running backs, did the quarterbacks. We're trying to bring forth our favorite guys at each of these positions. Get your head around the different names that are relevant that should have high enough draft capital, which means how high they're being drafted, in what round. And, you know, if you're drafted in the first few rounds of the NFL, you're going to have a better opportunity to make a difference and make an impact for redraft leagues in year one, and especially for dynasty leagues long term. So, let's begin here. If you do have the Dynasty Pass, you have looked at the team opportunity charts. There are a lot of teams in need. You know, the Lions are a team rumored to be looking at a rookie wide receiver. Texans, Cardinals, Jets, Falcons, Packers, Chiefs, Bears. It's a deep class, but there's a lot of need at this position.
I mean, every team always needs a wide receiver. Honestly, if you can, like, the Cincinnati Bengals, as insane as that sounds, with Ja'Marr Chase, Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, they could use another wide receiver. In the NFL, you can't have too many.
I agree with you, but there are some situations that feel more desperate and dire. Yeah, and you know, we talk in the Cardinals,
desperate.
They lost Christian Kirk. They have you know, DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore and. You know, I guess they did bring back Antoine Wesley, but they need one, right? They didn't bring back AJ Green yet. Thank the Lord. They might still do that. But, man, if you want a case of numbers not matching eyeballs, just look at AJ Green's numbers, and you're like, all right, he had a nice year. He's one of the better free agent pickups.
Yeah, there's empty production.
Then you watch him, and you, well, I'm not going to get into it.
Yes.
All right, so let's begin with Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, 6 foot 183, ran a 4.38. He is very much secure at number one on my board. Very secure at number one on my board. Now, I know, Mike, you also have him there.
I do currently have him there. Like, factoring into that, though, is the Treylon Burks coming down a little bit, where he's kind of lost some of his steam because of the combine, which could completely be a smokescreen. But that's the news that we have to go off of, and it looks like he will be, you know, at the back of the first or the top of the second. So, and Garrett Wilson is fast. He's shifty. He, like you were saying at the beginning, Andy, we have essentially three archetypes of wide receiver here, and so he's a bit of the smaller. On the smaller side, you know, 6 foot, which is okay, but only 183 pounds compared to, you know, Burks, who is up at 220, and you have Drake London, who's 210 or so. So you wish he was a bit larger, but he is the type of wide receiver that can succeed on any NFL team because of his shiftiness and his ability to get open.
Yeah, he's got 4.38 speed. And he is the Vegas odds-on favorite, tied with Drake.
Oh, is he now?
Drake London and him have the same odds to be the first wide receiver selected in the NFL draft. So when you combine, you know, the expectation of an investment from an NFL franchise, his speed, his production in college, he's an early declare. There are a kajillion things here to like with Garrett Wilson. he's number four on my board, and that's not because I dislike him. It really is just a matter of the type of player you're drafting in fantasy, because we're coming at this from fantasy football, not just from who's a good – he's a great wide receiver. He's going to be great, but is he going to turn out to be a Christian Kirk, a Sterling Shepard, a really good wide receiver who helps for fantasy, or will he dominate and be a fantasy superstar? And I was genuinely curious, because we talk a lot about weight in the draft season. So as the show was starting, I wrote down just the, you know, fantasy top rankings of wide receivers this year as far as my board went. Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, Diggs, Debo, A.J. Brown, Lamb, Hill, Evans, Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf. Every single person is over 200 pounds. All of them except for Hill, who's a outlier.
Yeah, he's an outlier.
CeeDee Lamb, who hasn't actually done it yet and maybe never becomes a superstar. And then the aforementioned Diggs. So most guys who are actually playing the role of 150-plus targets, a lot of work on the NFL field, touchdown opportunities, those guys aren't this archetype. But I do love Garrett Wilson. I love that he can win in all three areas of the field. He's good everywhere. He's talented. And he'll probably be the first NFL draft
pick. Yeah, I mean, he screams Atlanta to me. I mean, I think Atlanta going there, and yes, he's a little bit undersized in comparison to a Justin Jefferson, but Jefferson is the performance comp to me. It's that type of player on the field. Instant acceleration.
Great hands.
Great hands. Leaper. Big play guy. That's what, when I watched him play, that is the type of player that jumped off the page for me. You know, I think it was combine weight was 183. He had been listed at 190 plus in different places. He needs to put on some weight, but that's something he can do.
Yeah, in college, like being on camera, it seems to add like 5 to 10 pounds. And then
2 inches?
Yeah. You're just like, well, no, that's not actually what you weigh. But he's 21.7 years old, so that weight, like, he may have the ability to play a little bit heavier as he, you know, matures into his full-grown man body.
It's called ice cream, but go on.
I was going to say, like, it's called the weight room, but ice cream will also...
There are different ways to put on weight.
Do you know how much protein's in ice cream, Mike? Come on. I'm kind of a pro at bulking up.
Was the Halo Top?
Yes, that is the...
The low-cal high protein?
Yeah, just eat tons and tons of it. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what I hear.
So, all right, so Garrett Wilson, that's the breakdown. The other most popular spot, and Kyle, you can weigh in on these from the draft odds standpoint, but you mentioned the Jets also... one of the higher odds locations at number 10. So you have Atlanta at 8. You have the Jets at 10.
Both of those feel terrible.
Did you see? I have a perfect Jets wide receiver that I think needs to go there.
Okay.
But we're not talking about him yet.
The interesting thing about this particular draft, if guys are actually taken, like the Atlanta at 8 and whatever, the guys who go at the back of the first might be the better fantasy pick, where, you know, it's pretty hard. Once the NFL draft comes out, it can be difficult to fight up against that of, well, this person was the first wide receiver taken in the NFL draft. He's going to be the best. And you're like,
It's not the case here.
No, you're like, no. Well, that was Henry Ruggs. And then a couple picks later, it was Jefferson. And CeeDee Lamb was available as well. So, and Jerry Jeudy was in that class as well. So it, While those players are selected early, just make sure you're, you know, taking all of the information in, not just they were the first wide receiver taken.
That is especially true this year due to some of the injuries that players experience that knocked them down the list as well.
Sure.
So not only might they be drafted later to a better team, but they might actually be a better wide receiver, but there's a lack of confidence in recovery, you know, Jameson Williams being one of them in the national title game, tearing his ACL.
Mm.
All right, let's take a very quick break before we bring up our number two prospect.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out. And therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. All right, let's talk about Treylon Burks.
Yes.
This is a player that is, I mean, he's massive.
He's
huge.
He's a tank.
And when you watch him play on the field, there's been a lot of combine criticism, the speed, the 4.55, the concerns about that. Mike, I know you are a huge fan of Treylon Burks.
Yes.
So talk about why.
He reminds me so much of A.J. Brown, who size and speed freaks. And I don't buy the 4.55. I looked into Burks talking about it a little bit, and the combine was essentially like his, not that he didn't train for it, of course, but his first real experience
sprinting,
doing that type of, well, just like, you know, hitting the time. And so I think it was more of he wasn't fully trained for that run. And I don't hold it against him. I just shared a clip with the company of this huge breakaway touchdown. And he was clocked at hitting 22 miles an hour as his top speed, which is outrageous. And you watch tons of film of him pulling away. Like, he doesn't get caught once he gets going, and maybe it's a little bit slower to start, but he's 6'3", or he's 6'2", 224 pounds. Like, to me, that's the type of wide that's the archetype of wide receiver that I want to have as my foundation on my team.
He is a little bigger in the weight category than maybe I would want as my archetype, because I am concerned about that. I'm concerned. That's my number one concern with Treylon Burks is – is this a player where that playing weight thing slips into Kelvin Benjamin situation? The number one comp that I can think of for Treylon Burks at the NFL level is a player that sizes up identically at 6'2", 221. I think Treylon is 6'2", 224. It's Dwayne Bowe, if you remember him from the Kansas City Chiefs. That's who I see when I see Treylon Burks play football. He can be overpowering. He's great after the catch. We joked he's the Derrick Henry of the wide receiver position, in that when he's running fast, he looks like he's running slow because of his frame. But I am concerned a little bit about the ceiling. It's not that he'll be I think he will be a very valuable contributing professional wide receiver. But I do worry about whether you can get what you get out of a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, if the ceiling can ever be that high, or if you have a player that's going to be a little bit more touchdown reliant in fantasy than maybe some of these other prospects. Jason, what are your thoughts on Treylon Burks?
So I really, really like Treylon Burks. I think that he has – I'm far more on Mike's side, as I said earlier. Like, I want a wide receiver. No, but I'm saying on size. I want a bigger – guy who can be a touchdown machine, who can really manhandle some cornerbacks in the NFL. There are worries, right? Because like when you have those big, big boys like Treylon Burks is, you know, if his speed doesn't translate, you have some real bust potential here. I mean, you've got the potential to draft a guy who does absolutely nothing to Nikhil Harry in the NFL because it doesn't necessarily translate. But if you've got, you know, a Dez Bryant type of player, when I watched the film, I really liked him. There was a lot of schemed production, though, so there's a little bit of worry there, like a lot of manufactured touches. But you can also make the argument that that just means the team was like, we got to get
the
ball in the hands of our superstar. I really like him. I prefer swinging for the fences with wide receiver draft picks. And so I think the ceiling is pretty high. I think he's a guy who could end up being a double-digit touchdown type of player. And the nice thing is, where he's projected to be drafted has more potential to fall to a Green Bay Packers type of guy. Like
he's likely to be the fifth wide receiver off the board.
Right, which is oftentimes great. I mean, A.J. Brown, who is a very good comp here size, you know, weight wise, he was the second round pick.
Now, it's interesting because we're going to talk about Drake London next. And you would think a player of Treylon Burks' size would be better in the contested catching category. That would be the other thing I'll mention for this hope of him being a high touchdown situation. There was no player on film that did more in the contested catch category than Mike Evans. I'm sorry, Drake London, 6'4", 219. That is the comp I have for Drake London.
Yeah,
it's just incredible that literally, at least in all of the film work that I did on Drake London, every play he made, when you say he made a play, it was the 2-foot leaping, you know, Michael Pittman, Mike Evans leaping grab. I mean, that is what he does, and it's special. And look, a comp to Mike Evans, that would be
right,
great if he ended up that way.
Yeah.
But he's huge. He's 6'4", he's 220. And he's Jason's number one prospect.
He is my number one. I absolutely love the film. I think that, you know, where he's got a lot of the jump ball contested catches kind of in the middle of the field, which just shows he's got great hands. The deep routes, he actually, you know, I know Mike and I debated beforehand, does he get separation? I think he gets plenty of separation deep in the field. And then the nice thing is, like, he has been used in many different ways through his college career, and he was good at all of them. Like early on, he was a slot guy because he was playing with Amon-Ra St. Brown and other NFL prospects, and then this last breakout year he was used mostly on the outside, but he had a lot of screens. I think he averaged the most screens per game of any college wide receiver, so another one of those, you know, manufactured touches because he is good after the catch. He had more yards after the catch than the Ohio guys, and he didn't play a full season.
Yeah, he
season.
Had a devastating injury.
Yeah, he had a terrible injury, missed
ankle,
big chunk,
right?
Yeah, of his final year. But when I watch the film, I just love it. He is the size, the projected speed, the projected draft capital. Like I said, he's tied with Garrett Wilson for best odds to be the number one pick. I love Drake London. He's my favorite wide receiver this year.
I forgot to mention it, but Treylon Burks' recent mocks have him Philadelphia, Green Bay. You were talking about later in the draft.
Yeah.
Where's the most likely destination right now for London? Is he fitting into the Jets category? Because
probably.
He is the player that I said fits the Jets perfectly. You want to help a young wide receiver, you give him a player at 6'4" that literally is going to win every high point, every ball that's not quite where Zach Wilson meant to throw it because he threw it without fundamentals on the run from the offensive line. I think he helps Wilson tremendously.
Yeah.
What do you have there for his most likely destination?
It's either the Jets at 10 or the Texans at 13.
Yeah.
Well, that's a you could have.
See, this is the problem with being like, it's almost better
best,
to be.
Yeah.
Davis Mills, if they ship Cooks out and you give him Drake London, I'll feel okay. Mike, what are your thoughts on Drake?
I'm kind of a combination of you guys where I really like him, but my red flags are like what Andy's saying. When I see him make a play, it's a contested catch. And I'm not saying he can't get open, but I feel like he was blanketed more. When I'm watching him, I felt like a defender was on him more often than not. And that can add that, yes, that archetype can work in the NFL. But if you go to a quarterback that doesn't like that,
or is unwilling to do that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Is unwilling to throw into the tight window.
That's where the Jets could work.
You weren't blessed with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who Devontae Parker was a 50-50 ball guy.
Yes, that's a good point.
And he went in the first round, and it looked like he was a complete bust of a prospect. In comes Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's willing to throw into the tight window because he trusts the wide receiver to catch the ball. So that's my only red flag. You would hope that the general manager and the coaching staff, they know the tendencies of their quarterback, that they won't use that. But just saying that that's a red flag of you could find a gun-shy quarterback who won't fully utilize his skill set.
It's another former USC 6'4", 220 wide receiver is Michael Pittman. And there have been so many times we've bemoaned knowing the talent and then not throwing, like when Phillip Rivers was there, he just got these little crosser routes.
Right.
Then you get Carson Wentz. You saw a little bit of the downfield prowess. And to be clear, though, to bring it back, this is a top-tier wide receiver.
Yes.
This is a player that, okay, so he made all these contested catches. That's a plus for him. He makes them consistently, out jumps everybody, strong hands, doesn't block like Mike Evans does, but that could be developed with that size as well. So Jason's number one guy, Drake London, could be off the board very, very early in the draft. Let's talk about Chris Olave, another Ohio State wide receiver, ran alongside Garrett Wilson, 6'1", 187. The word that I use to describe Chris Olave, one of the reasons why he's kind of my favorite, he's not ranked the highest because of the draft capital, but he's my favorite wide receiver because of how buttery smooth he is. Mm-hmm. He is the best route runner in this draft. He wins all over the place. Not particularly a game breaker, like he's going to beat you down the sideline every single play. He just kind of picks you apart, and that's what I loved about him on film.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Watching him is a blast. Chris Olave was so smooth. His routes are crisp, like compared to Garrett Wilson, who's like flailing around very successfully.
Yes.
But still.
That was honestly one. I look back at one of my notes of Garrett Wilson. I said, he has great balance, yet he often seems out of control.
Yes, he always seems out of control. That Chris Olave looks like he knows exactly where he's going. The only, if I'm just talking about film, I love everything I see from Chris Olave. The only knocks are, he is smaller, 187 pounds, as far as what I'm saying, preferring these 200-pound archetypes. He was the wide receiver 3 on his own team because he's behind Garrett Wilson, and there's a guy coming out next year who's going to be talked early in this episode. And so how much of his openness on the field was the fact that he was the 3rd wide receiver you're worried about, and he did have a later breakout age. He's not an early declare.
Yes, he's a senior. Which is not everything. You prefer the earlier declares. We've seen a history of success from those guys more often than the 4-year guys. But he does have a really young breakout age, so it's not it's not like the worst that he's a 4-year guy.
But it's not one of the things. Yeah, sorry to correct myself. It wasn't his breakout age, but he's a 4-year non-early declare.
Some of the lighter guys, you worry about getting off of press coverage at the NFL level as well. How elegant is that going to be? Some comps might be a faster Calvin Ridley, a taller Brandon Cooks for Chris Olave. He's my odds-on favorite to be my favorite rookie wide receiver pick for fantasy because of the fact that he will likely go outside the top 2 or 3 at the position, which means a higher likelihood of being in Green Bay and Arizona in Dallas. You know, Mike, you just brought up, like on Tuesday, you talked about maybe Michael Gallup isn't going to have the shine he does right now in dynasty leagues because maybe they grab a rookie wide receiver. And then an hour after the show, they start talking about Dallas meeting with these wide receivers. And look, they're paying Dak a lot of money. They need to give him all the weapons possible.
Yes they do.
So we'll leave it there with Olave. Jameson Williams, All right. Out of Alabama, was a transfer. Tore his ACL in the national title game, 6'1.5", 179. Really kind of fits the exact same type of physical skill set of like Garrett Wilson to me, where you are a little bit underweight than maybe you'd like to see, but physically similar, really fast on the football field, very bursty, monster production, 15 touchdowns, 1,500 yards last year at Alabama, and really wouldn't be projected to be later in the draft if not for that injury.
Yeah. He very well could have been the number one wide receiver taken in this year's draft if he didn't get injured. He just completely dominated. Ironically, he was with these other two Ohio State guys, transferred with those other three,
yeah,
transferred out because he was a little bit more buried on the depth chart, and then proved that, look, maybe he is the best of that group. I loved his tape. I don't like the size, but he is different to me because if you look at Olave and Garrett Wilson, they're winning everywhere. You know, Olave's routes are just unbelievable, and that's all fine and dandy. But when I look at these smaller players, I really want them to win with speed. And they're all blazingly fast. But Jameson Williams looks like he uses his speed. You watch his highlights, and it's nonstop pulling away from guys.
Yeah, there's no player that had better downfield separation than Jameson Williams in the collegiate level.
Right. He's like a DeSean Jackson type to me, where undersized, but he's so darn fast on the field that he could just have bomb after bomb after bomb. So
11 touchdowns of 30-plus yards, which was number one in all of the FBS.
So for fantasy, it's going to be really interesting, right? He is, you know, similar to the NFL draft. He's injured. He tore his ACL late. He's not going to be ready to go. And so when you're in your rookie startup draft, he's going to drop a few spots because people are wanting someone that can play this year.
And so are the Chiefs and the Packers and the Cardinals. These are teams in contention. So you may see those high-quality destinations, even Dallas, high-quality destinations. You know, we talk about Gallup isn't going to be back. Well, you're drafting a guy in the first round, you might want to be able to play him in week one.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these high-quality destinations might not be where Jameson Williams lands. He may be a player that develops on a situation that is 2 or 3 years out.
Yeah, but I'm a believer. I really just loved his tape.
We both have him at number two on our list.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have him lower simply because of, like, his tape is very good. It's only 1 year of – it's outrageous production. I mean – to be fair, you said the 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, but to that point had not surpassed 200 yards. The transfer, we don't have insight into what was going on at Ohio State, of why wasn't Jameson playing more? Was there the politics of the team that he couldn't rise up the depth chart? Was he just... The team didn't view him as good enough to rise up the depth chart, and so he made the decision, which was for him the right decision. But to me,
I was gonna say 1,515. I know can't persuade you that was. Oh, no, that he should. You know, he's a good enough player.
It's but yeah.
Why would the transfer matter if you put up 1,515 at Alabama in the SEC?
Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's the argument.
Your argument is 100% accurate. It's simply it's just a gut thing of, like, when we see players not work in the NFL, it's not usually because they are bad players. It's other things that we have no insight into, where they are not connecting, they're not, they don't have the right practice habits, they're not mentally strong enough, things that we on a fantasy football podcast, we can't possibly say what has happened. So that is what is holding me back from going all in on Jameson Williams, because it should be an easy slam dunk that Jameson Williams is going to go in the NFL and dominate right away.
He's going to be a Patriot. That's what I think. he's one of these Alabama guys. They're not, you know, in it for right now. They got Parker. That'd be a good landing spot. And the last thing I'll say on him is weight. The 179. You know,
he's
super low. He's a few pounds lighter than Garrett Wilson because of the ACL. He's not, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't able to put on weight and do his normal workout. So you kind of give a little bit of grace there when you weigh a little bit less coming off of an ACL injury.
Now, those are the top five. Now, we all have them in different orders, but those are the consensus top five for all three of us. I have Wilson. I got Olave 3, Jameson Williams 2, sorry. Olave 3, Drake London 4, Treylon Burks 5.
Yeah, and there's a break here. I think this is really the tier break.
So I was setting you up to give your top five.
And I was looking for
Jason Hill.
Okay, you were looking for it while you talked. All
Jason's
right.
Got London, Williams, Burks, Wilson, Olave, and I am Wilson, Burks, London, Williams, Olave.
All to change right after the draft.
Yep.
Of course.
But this next, if you want to draw the line there, there are other players that have, I would say, fan bases. Out there on NFL Draft Twitter, people in love with Sky Moore.
I like Sky Moore
out of Western Michigan. He's 5'10", 195.
He's the new moon hands.
Yeah, he has the biggest hands in the class. He has hands that make
who was that?
Kenny Pickett very, very jealous.
Moon hands on Hicks. The Giants. Okay, yes.
Oh, by
yes.
The way, Akeem Hicks was the other name I wrote down with Treylon Burks.
Yeah, I mean, just giant hands for being 5'10".
Moon hands. We need a new moon hand.
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Yeah, so he, I didn't like him as much. I think he's lower in my rankings, but, you know, he had a lot of production, yeah, and he's got giant hands. So.
I'm going to bring up some names. You tell me who you want to talk about.
Okay.
But Jahan Dotson, who I liked on film.
Yes.
Too small for me. I'm a sizest.
5'11", 178. David Bell out of Purdue. Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. George Pickens getting a lot of talk right now. 6'3", 195 sure. Out of Georgia.
Those two
also
guys.
Looks very special on
yeah,
film.
Yeah, I want to pause at least on Christian Watson because he is
6'5", 208.
He is such a wild card. 6'4", 208, runs a 4.36, putting his speed score just nearly off of the charts. The green bar is just about to give a smooch to the other side. Because his athletic ability is so incredible, but he's from a smaller school. He's
not a lot of production
in North Dakota. He played a couple years ago with Trey Lance, small school, and yet with those physical skills,
43 catches.
He had 43 receptions for 800 yards and 7 touchdowns. And I do not mind a I do not mind a small school guy. Like I brought up Corey Davis. Yeah, because he was a small school guy. He ended up, I mean, he was like fifth overall in the draft, but he was at a small school and his production was like 1,400 yards a year.
That's what it should be at a small school.
Yes, you should.
You should be doing Rashad dominate. Penny's running back numbers.
Yes.
What was it, San Diego State for Rashad yes. Penny? Where they're just, they don't make sense. They look
right.
That good.
And to put up 800 yards.
Otherwise, you get Justin Watson out of it, not Christian Watson.
It is just, it's sketchy, but. The size and the speed is something that is very rare.
The film, too, I think was excellent. Like, I realize he didn't have a lot of production, but he looked the part. He looked great. And my biggest thing is, you know, he's a senior, which I don't like. I like the early declares. But he went to the Senior Bowl, and he was the talk of the town. I mean, everybody was saying he dominated a lot. You know, that's what happened with Debo Samuel when the Niners were there, and then they drafted him. So people
Cooper Kupp also dominated
the Senior Bowl. I'm very, very curious where he goes in the draft. He falls to round 3, 4, whatever. He's a lower production guy from a small school. But if he creeps up to the second, or I've seen inklings of the first, then I'm – all in on him because I really like the film.
And what about maybe the most injured player in the draft, George Pickens, 6'3", 195, but didn't play a lot over the last 2 years. In fact, 2020, 2021 combined for 41 receptions, just 5 last year after the ACL.
I love the film. I love the size.
It's tough with the lack of time in production.
He's
sure of himself. He says he's the best wide receiver in the class.
He broke out as a true freshman years ago and was awesome at an age that people aren't that good. And then he's been injured basically since then. So he is certainly on my radar of some. These two guys, Christian Watson and George Pickens, are my next two after the
That
the
reminds
top
me of somebody. Rondale Moore.
Yeah, I know. That is exactly who comes to mind. The difference is Rondale Moore is an itty-bitty baby at 5'7", and this guy's 6'3".
Yeah.
Kyle, I'm curious, as you have been knee-deep in the Dynasty Pass, do you have any specific thoughts on Pickens or on one side or the other? Do you believe in the potential?
I'm from Georgia, and so I watched a lot of him, but I'm not a big fan.
Okay.
Ooh. All right, take that, George.
He's a Georgian authority.
And this is George from Georgia.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Man. It's very Georgian.
Taken down by the Borgorgon. I meant Borgorgon?
Bajorgian.
The Bajorgian. Yeah.
Threw a goiter in there.
You did. I don't know what happened. First of all, I shouldn't have thrown to Kyle because apparently he lost his voice between this morning and now. And then the Bajorgian. That's the new name. All right. Turning our attention ever briefly to the tight end position, Trey McBride and Greg Dulcich. Do we have a favorite, and do we care?
I have a favorite. I actually really like Trey McBride.
I do, too.
I think he's great. When I watched the film, reminded me quite a bit of Mark Andrews. It was unbelievable that he didn't score. He just didn't do that. He loved having yards, and he loved having great catches and yards after the catch.
Four touchdowns on 22 receptions in 2020. One touchdown on 90 receptions.
1,100 yards and a touchdown. That's. I think that is.
It's embarrassing. Really.
It's embarrassing, but I have to believe that's just, you know, luck of the draw there. You know, you get tackled at the one.
Jacoby Myers is like, yeah, buddy.
So, but I like the tape a lot, and I think he'll be the first pass catching tight end drafted.
Now, Mike, you like Dulcich, but yes. I have to ask you. Is it those head and shoulders locks on his head?
How much is it the hair?
Don't leave out the mustache, fellas.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, his vibe. I wish we need a vibe metric.
Yeah, he's got the Palomalu vibe going on.
Just off the charts. Like, this guy, he's doing all right in
his
life.
And five touchdowns.
He's doing all right.
But if he looked like Sam Darnold, would he be your number one? That's the question.
Wilson?
He still would be. Okay. Well, I mean, if you gave him like that physical stature, then no.
Right.
I mean, these guys are very, very close to each other.
But you like Big D.
big Greg D, as they are calling him in the streets. When I'm watching between the two of them, he's the one that at least seems more Kelsey-ian to me. And again, not an official talent scout. But like, that's when you're watching a tight end, you're really, really hoping, please remind me of Travis Kelsey. And Dulcich reminds me of him just a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah. Some comps we had for McBride, Todd Heap, if you remember him.
Oh, Todd Heap was great.
Yeah, Baltimore. And Dulcich, I see faster Austin Hooper. Is a faster Austin Hooper Travis Kelce is the question. If Austin Hooper was really fast, would he be Kelce?
No, Hooper's not physical enough to be Kelce.
Also see Dawson Knox a little bit with Dulcich.
Yeah, that's fair.
But the headline here, if you haven't heard us say it before, rookie tight ends, not drafted at number four overall. They just don't make a big impact. I mean, it's just very, very rare. I mean, look at Pat Freiermuth, who we all think is a very talented tight end. But
it's been a while since we've talked about getting Luth.
Mm.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean.
But rookie tight ends don't get Luth very often.
No, but what about going into year two? Is the Muth going to be Luth?
Oh. In year two?
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay. Mike.
On fire.
We opened and we closed with bangers.
Well, we got to shut this down as fast as we can. That'll do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Footballers. Check out ultimatedraftkit.com if you want access to the Dynasty Pass. You'll see breakdowns on all the rookies. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.